Welcome to my Father's House podcast, episode 409, Good News from Israel. Guest pastor Israel Pachtar delivered this message on Sunday, February 23rd, 2025, in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Thank you, Pastor Harley. It's wonderful to be together Sunday morning and share good news from Israel. By the way, it was so neat to see Pastor Greg Locke on the screen because he's a friend of mine. We became friends just a year ago, and it was a divine appointment when he was enlightened and never been to Israel. I invited him. I said, "Come and visit us." So he's been already 7 times with me in Israel just last year. Yeah, he's a very intensive guy, you know. Like, I was like, okay, I spoke about maybe once a year, twice a year, 7 times a year. But he's a good friend, dear friend. And by the way, you know, many of you have been connected to all the story of Greg running the office, Greg Rainey. That was actually his last conference with us together. He joined me just driving from here to Nashville, Tennessee, to be together. And I can tell you, he's not only talking, he's doing. No, he invited me to, he was with us in our work. He was touched by what God is doing in our church and churches and Israel with our ministry there. So you know, he invited me back to his big conference and asked me, "What is your biggest need?" And the biggest need, actually, right now, we're buying a building for the church building. So I shared with him, and he said, "Well, we will take all conference offering to you guys to build a church in Israel." And Israel is an expensive country. it's our price is like New York City, like downtown New York City, you know, a small piece of land in the middle of all the tensions and all the problems and all the. So they actually collected a very good offering and gave us $200,000, which was first push to the full miracle of God. Praise God. And by the way, I know Pastor Harley praying with me all the time, but we've been able to raise 85% of money we needed. So we're very close. So if you know anyone who have heart for Israel, but also wants to invest into building in Israel, that actually dedicated to, first of all, evangelism and discipleship in the land of Israel. And prayer house and many, many other things, but that's the main focus. Please share with your friends, pray, and you know, numbers are matter, but I can tell you, there are sometimes, doesn't matter how much you can give, and don't think my donation is too little, you know, like, just a matter of fact that you join hands, you know, like, and buying just even one brick, your brick will be in the wall, you know, like part of the big building and what God is doing, and that's awesome opportunity. So praise the Lord. Well, you know, God is good. Amen. And I feel kind of a little bit weird. I do feel presence of the Holy Spirit. That's all good. I have my notes ready. But, you know, I haven't been in this church for a few years. So I feel like weird. I mean, it feels like I have so much news to share. And I don't know how to start with and what to start with, you know. But anyway, help us, Lord. So, Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus that you will move in our midst this morning. Lord, we need information, Lord. We need knowledge. We want scriptures and your word, Lord. But most of all, we want to see your glory. We want to see your moving, Lord, in Israel, in America, but also in our lives, in our families, with our children, brothers, sisters, parents, hallelujah, in our midst, Lord, with the people you call us to serve and to be a blessing. So, Lord, we pray that you will use this meeting to empower each one of us. Touch us, Lord, with the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, Yeshua. Speak to us, Lord. Give us prophetic words, prophetic directions, prophetic revelations from heaven, Lord. Just speak to us. We are here to receive, Lord, in the name of Yeshua. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Ah, wow. Praise God. So good to be in the presence of God, right? Good to be in His presence. That's the most precious and important thing. And I can tell you, you know, you live in Indiana, in Fort Wayne, peaceful area, And I know if you don't watch too much news, you can feel like nothing happening. you say same old, same old. Yeah. Yeah? In Israel, we say all same, all same. You say same old, same old. Anyway, but actually, if you really feel like nothing happens, look at Israel. Look what happened. And really, Israel, God is using Israel as a watch. I see Pastor Harley gave me a big watch here, just to know what time is it. And yeah, I see he said the watch, it will ring. I have only 3 hours to speak. I'm kidding. Yeah, but actually we're talking about conferences and seminars here in America. We do it in many nations, but actually never did in America. And probably time has come, so we will be in touch about that as well, to go deeper in the Word of God, to go deeper to prophetic, to the details. Because I can tell you, if you see this watch called Israel, and you have your Bible, you read your Bible, it gives you clear message where we're at and in His times. Where we're at, and I can tell you for sure, Jesus is coming soon. You know, Pastor Harley mentioned our first meeting with Lester Samrell. We didn't become friends right there because I didn't speak English back then. He just passed to, you know, Lester Samrell, shake my hand, and others. And Pastor Harley was just behind him helping and doing and moving with Pastor Karen. But it was an awesome time. You know, divine appointments, praise the Lord. I couldn't even imagine that this young fellow going to be my older brother and mentor in many ways. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I remember being in the Bible school, studying last days, studying Book of Revelation and other prophecies about last days. It feels like we've been guessing what can happen, what probably would happen, what might happen. You know, it was before internet. Remember those days, right? Before cell phones, before social media, you know, a different world. But it felt like we've been guessing how last days would look like. Now, living in Israel and reading the Bible, it's clear. It's just clear. All these last day events, they're right at the door. The preparation is taking place right now, and everything is ready. And if you ask me, when Jesus is going to come back? You know, I've been actually preaching in Hawaii in the missions conference at the right before your elections, and we're flying back home at the day of your elections. So all these guys were very, very disturbed, worried, tensed, you know, the Americans, just Hawaiian Americans. And they were asking me lots of questions about last days. What do you think? You know, I prayed, you know, what I felt. Surely, I wish Trump will be a president. But anyway, I told them, hey, guys, no worries. I can tell you one clear thing. If not Trump, but other party will come to power, the Harris, you know, to come to power, it's a sign that God is speeding up times to coming to his return. If Trump will be elected, it's a sign that actually God has given a little bit more time. A little bit more time to preach the gospel, and all that, because it's affecting Israel and slowing down different powers around Israel. And it's not the message, do you like Trump, do you don't like Trump? You know, it's not about politics, but it's about, it is about geopolitics and events that are taking place. Okay, it's about person, but about events that are taking place around Israel. And differently, we see things did slow down, but it's only 4 years. and no one knows what's going to be next. But I can tell you, all the events that are written in the Bible, they're all going to happen. It will happen. You know, so this administration, other administration, it doesn't matter. It's more than Trump and Harris and any other party. It's more than just one nation, even great nation. It's the Bible, kingdom of God. And God is working in all the nations, not only in America, not only in Israel. Yes, there is a deep, deep connection between your nation and Israel. Your nation actually received this call to be a nation of covenant with Israel. And that's what your actual government's saying officially, and that's amazing. It's a miracle. But it's not going to be like that forever, because even that will change, and that's in the Bible. You know, even America one day will turn their back on Israel. And I can tell you, you know, I've heard different prophecies about America going down, not going down, all kind of stuff, but I can tell you, prophetically, talking about Bible and biblical events, America actually don't even have to go down, but enough to be just busy with your own problems and say, well, world is big, we cannot fix all the world's problem, let's focus on our country, and let's just leave the international influence. That will be enough. Next day, Israel will be alone. Europe already against Israel by far. They do speak some ways, you know, actually only America. And once again, I know it's God. It's God who using, he chose America to be this tool in his hands, you know. But all of what I'm saying, we see how Bible coming to pass. We see how prophecies unfolding before our eyes, you know, as we speak. And it's amazing. It's amazing. You know, my wife, she came to Jesus because one lady actually preached to her 30-some years ago about the book of Revelation and last days. She gets scared and she ran to Jesus. but now we're talking about reality. It's part of what we see right now. Anyway, so a few words about what we do in Israel. You know, I like Apostle Peter. You know, when he heard about Jesus, he came to Jesus and asked him, Rabbi, where do you live? Meaning self-invitation. I want to come to your home. Yeah, I want to see how do you live. I want to talk with your brothers, your neighbors, and check out, you know. You are welcome to come and be with us in Israel, to walk with us, to see what God is doing, and to have a first-hand experience, you know, hands dirty, right? Just to work, to participate, to do, to be a blessing, and just to see amazing work God is doing in Israel. Praise God. Our central church, it's a big church for Israel. So we are biggest congregation together with a couple other same size congregations in Israel. But also we work in 10 cities of Israel, planting congregations, churches, and right now working on our fresh plant. Actually, last was Beersheba, and we're still working on Beersheba, city of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They spent quite lots of time there. If you read the Bible and geography, you know, the Beersheba was a city when Jacob left to Egypt. Actually, he left from Beersheba. He came back to altar built by Abraham and also used by his father Isaac. Eventually, Jacob came to this very well, and this very altar was seeking the Lord, saw the dream, and went to Egypt. And now we have a church in this city, praise the Lord, congregation, just fresh one, all the new believers there, and working also on Jerusalem. And it's amazing. It's amazing. We read the Bible. We're getting instructions, and we're talking not about principles of the Bible, because they do apply for all of us. You know, there's many, many wonderful words of Jesus and epistles about your life, your heritage, your spiritual heritage. You can stand on this word, but we're talking about prophetic words that was speaking about these days, you know, those cities, those places. We see them, and we do what Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Zechariah have been prophesied. And by the way, Zechariah prophesied about my city. And you know, it's like too big to be truth. But actually, he spoke about our ministry in Ashdod and our work out of Ashdod. I know it sounds crazy, right? It sounds too crazy. But actually, we see this prophecy never been fulfilled. And we just found ourselves be in this prophecy. It wasn't our goal. First we moved, God called us, gave me a vision. We moved, and then reading the Bible, I found this prophecy in Zechariah 9. And I really was deeply touched. So I didn't want to jump to conclusions. I came to the theologians. It was before I became doctor of theology. And was talking with different theologians, and they say, wow, we never see this verse. Yes, it's never happened in the history. So actually, Zechariah, he spoke about you guys and your ministry and your team, and praise the Lord. And that's really what happened, and praise God. So We do start congregations. We do lots of evangelism, and that's my big passion. You know, evangelism in Israel. We're growing to do more evangelism also out of Israel to the nations, but Israel is our main focus. So evangelism in Israel, and by the way, for those who pray for Israel, March 22, we're going to have a next event. We've been planning to reach out 600 non-believers, Israelis, and it's a big deal. When you say 600 coming to hear the gospel in Israel, it's like probably 60,000 in America or even more, you know. It's a big, big deal. But actually, more churches want to do that with us. They ask us to join us, and now it's grown to 800, and we're going to take people from our area and cities we work at to actually Nazareth, city when Jesus was born, right? The hometown of Jesus, hallelujah. And we're going to preach them the gospel. Last time, actually, we have been to Nazareth. We had a supernatural encounter with God. You know, one lady, she was going through divorce, young lady, non-believer, and her neighbor invited her, and she said, you know what, I feel I'm depressed, I don't know what to do, I don't believe in this stuff, you know, we're Jewish, but you know what, I will go with you, just for fun, you know, I will go with you. She wasn't serious about checking things, seeking for God, she just joined, you know, not to be bored at home on Shabbat day, you know, day off. She went to Nazareth, and walking in Nazareth, she saw Jesus. She just saw Jesus walking in Nazareth among the people. And she knew it's Jesus. I mean, she didn't know nothing about Jesus, but when she saw him, she knew this is Jesus. You know, like, and she started to run, look for him, and he disappeared. You know, like, and she came home, believer in Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yeah. You know, I called my friends. I have Arab friends. You know, Nazareth today, actually, it's an Arab city. There is only one neighborhood called Nazareth Elite on the top of the hill, which is Jewish, but Nazareth, it's an Arab city, predominantly Muslim. It used to be Christian, now it's Muslim. But there is good brothers and churches. And my friends, I called them just to encourage them and tell them, hey, guys, we just see, like, one of our guys just saw Jesus in Nazareth. Jesus still walking in Nazareth, you know, touching people. Hallelujah. Praise God. So pray for our next outreach in Nazareth, going to be March 22, Saturday, early morning for you. It will be midday. It will be at 12, so minus 8, early morning. Anyway, so pray with us. We're praying for miracles and salvations. Hallelujah. Can you imagine? For 2,000 years, the gospel wasn't preached in Israel to Jewish people, and now, once again, you know, many, many Israelis and Jewish people coming to Galilee, to Nazareth, to Jerusalem, to hear about Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, when God called me to Israel, I wasn't born in Israel. I was born in a Jewish family, but not in Israel. I was born in Eastern Europe, and I got saved. I didn't, actually, you know, it's funny, but I was raised and growing up, brought up with the conversations, one day in Jerusalem, one day we're going to move, one day it was a dream to go to Israel. But when I get saved, I settled. Now, I'm in Jesus. I doesn't care, you know. And people would ask me, like in Bible school, people would ask me, where are you going, guys, to Israel? And I would tell them, hey, you know, revival is here. A revival came to my town, to my nation, you know, revival is here. So I will grow old, and when I'm going to retire, then I'm going to fulfill biblical prophecy. Then I will go to Israel. That was my plan. A couple of years later, God just stepped into my life, we just married, and tell us, go to Israel, go to actually your homeland now. So we left everything behind and moved to Israel. We say, yes, Lord, and the rest is the history. But it's such a wonderful journey. It was very difficult. Israel was as a spiritual desert, and I can tell you, in this 30 years of ministry in Israel, I can tell you Israel have changed a lot. Just to see thousands of people coming to hear about Jesus. You know, it's funny, kind of, that was my dream and vision God gave me. I always believed in that, and yet I didn't believe in that. I mean, it was hard to imagine. You know, you just believe in, you keep in, you know, what God show you, you believe in, but it's also kind of looks impossible. But today we're walking in supernatural, we're walking in impossible, we're walking in what's really impossible by all measures, but, you know, our God is God of impossible, right? Our God is God of supernatural. Our God is God of miracles. And I can tell you, you know, to recreate Israel, to give rebirth to the nation of Israel, to protect Israel, you know, many empires rose and gone. I know Dr. Lester Sumrall wrote a book about it years ago. It's still relevant. We can just add a couple chapters. There's more empires rose and go since he gone. But, you know, God is doing such a great miracles in international scale with Israel. Hallelujah. Now, think about your life. Think about your life. Do you need miracle from God? Do you need healing, directions, blessing, power? He has it all. Has it all. And if he can do such a great and amazing miracles for Israel, surely he can do a little miracle for you. And release his blessing, like just be with you, visit you, your children, your family. We serve a great and amazing God. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So other part of our ministry, very, very dear to my heart, because it is in the Bible. You know, many prophets, they said, for example, Ezekiel 37, you know, they said, I will visit you in the nations, and I will bring you out of the nations. I will bring you back to Israel. I will reestablish you, and then I will pour my spirit on you, and you will know me. Check out Ezekiel 37. We call it in Hebrew Aliyah, or return of Jewish people back to Israel. And God said literally, I will visit you, I will bring you back, and then I will pour my spirit on you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So we face Aliyah, especially from the north, especially they are the guys who come from the north, the Jewish families that come back to Israel from the north, they are most open for the gospel. And we work with these guys, also with these guys, and that's amazing. You read the Bible, and you see it happening. You read the Bible, and you have an opportunity to be part of the fulfillment of the Bible prophecies. Wow. What can be more excited, huh? Right? Yes. Hallelujah. I just kind of calming myself and try, you know, yeah. And by the way, if I will go too excited and go quick, and you're going to lose me, just raise your hand, you know, because I speak daily three languages in my office, and other two very fast languages, like Hebrew is very, very quick language. So I tend to speak very quick, but I know English is my third language, and I can mispronounce words. If you lose me, just raise your hand, okay? I will slow down, speak slower, and pronounce words better. Hallelujah. So God is moving. God is moving. You know, there is prophecy in Isaiah when it says, go to the nations and tell them. And then prophets saying what to tell. Tell them that once who scattered Israel among the nations, he's bringing them back. And he's going to bless them and reestablish them. So this message actually, releasing blessing of the nations, even saying to prophets, go to the nations and just tell them this news. Give them these reports. God is reestablishing Israel. God is working in Israel. God is preparing Israel for return of Jesus. Hallelujah. And that's just matter of fact. Just this message releasing God's blessing over our lives. Hallelujah. And by the way, when I was moving to Israel and I prayed, you know, we were in the middle of revival. Everywhere you go, people coming to Jesus. It was an amazing time. I didn't want to leave. So even after prophetic word from God, not prophetic, but ultimate voice of God, I still kind of asked questions. Like, Lord, I'm going, no questions. But why now? You know, like, hoping maybe he will delay my departure, you know. Like, why now? Oh, all my friends, family, you know. Some of my family left early and we lost touch. You know, once again, it was before internet. But why now, Lord? Why now, Lord? And one of the messages Lord gave me, it was, again, clear encounter with God, and he said to me, I'm sending you to Israel now to prepare my people Israel for my return. Then I said, yes, Lord, no questions asked anymore. So that's what we do. We prepare the nation of Israel for return of Jesus, preparing their hearts. Remember, God said before Jesus came back, came to the earth for the first time. God sent John the Baptist to prepare hearts of Israelis for his return. I'm not John the Baptist. I'm not Elijah. Okay, it's not only me. There is body of Christ. Just make sure. But actually, that's what God told me. That's what we do. We're preparing people of Israel for his return by preaching the gospel. And by the way, once again, study biblical prophecy. I can tell you, Christians will play and already playing a vital role in salvation of Israel. It's said in New Testament, Romans 11, probably the most loud scriptures about that, but there is more. And surely prophets were speaking about that. And that's what's actually a mystery for rabbis and for religious Israel, for Judaism, because it doesn't fit modern Judaism, but actually it is in the Bible that nations will come to Israel to help, to bless, to proclaim glory of the Lord, to work in vineyards and more and more and more. There's many scriptures about nations, how they will come to Israel. Praise God. So you called by God to play a very important role in salvation of Israel. Praise Jesus. Okay, so once again, I'm going to leave, but we're going to speak about trips to Israel, both sea sites. It's must, and it's easy, small country, to go across America. You need lots of time to go across Israel. Easy, it's one day trip. You can cross most of the country. It can be one day in Galilee, same day in Jerusalem. So it's easy. But also to be involved in what God is doing in evangelism, in salvation of Israel, helping people, comfort people, and it's amazing movement of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so about Israel. Now, Israel is fighting on seven fronts. So this year, last year and a half, actually, they were the most difficult years in history of Israel. The most difficult years by far. And that's what Israelis saying, the politicians, the army, people. That's the fact. It was most difficult year in Israel. It was probably most fruitful year for our ministry yet. Also, the most difficult year for us in Israel, for me as a pastor, for us as a church and congregation. It's amazing how God's kingdom works at both. The most difficult year, also most fruitful year. The most difficult year emotionally, the most blessed year in many ways of reaching people, being encouragement, being a tool in God's hands. It's just amazing. The most tragical day was actually the first day of the war. Because when the war broke out, we had a few boys and girls from my congregation serving in the army right at the border. Right at the border was David Ratner's son. I know Pastor Harley communicated to you guys, but actually he's the son of our evangelist that actually Voice of Judah supports, and him and his wife, they're both evangelists in our ministry, elders in the congregation. And they lost their son, who was fighting for Israel, David Ratner, a hero, 20 years old boy. They were just overrun. He had a unit of 12 soldiers fighting 350 terrorists, coming from every side without any backup. That was a really tragedy. But he was fighting for 8 hours, running out of ammunition. And then he was wounded. He could actually be evacuated and be saved, but he refused. He said, "There is families behind me. Their base was right in front of the kibbutz, kibbutz Nachal Oz." So he refused. He said, "There's families. I know there is no soldiers. There is no one to protect them. I cannot leave. I have to fight." And he knew if he's going to stay, he's going to die. But he sacrificed his life and he said, I'm staying. I don't care. And he was fighting to the last drop of his blood, literally. He was bleeding and fighting. That was a couple survivors that told us, he was screaming, keep fighting. There is families, there is kids. Keep fighting for our houses. And eventually he died as a hero. There's a memorial in our city done by City Hall. Amazing story. Probably one day you can hear all the details when you come to Israel. There's a whole story recorded, powerful testimony. And it's the first time ever we lost young men in the war. because God always supernaturally protected all the Christian or Messianic, we call them Messianic, Christian soldiers in Israeli army. That was strategy. But at the same day, 35 young men and women were deployed just from our church. Can you imagine just for our congregation, 35, all the young men gone, including your son-in-law, who was inside of Gaza, miraculously saved quite a few times. Even funny story, he was out of tank. He felt like he dropped something. He just turned down, and that moment explosion happened. And Order Schnappel healed the place his head was at. You know, just blink of a second, a blink of an eye, or less than a second, just between life and death. And your daughter was praying for him. All of us have been praying, of course. Many miracles. Like one of our worship leader, our youth worship leader, young girl, she was running to help others and get into ambush by actually Nuhba forces, which is the best elite forces. And her friend was killed, only girls, few girls, four girls started to fight. Her friend was killed, another wounded, and she started to kill terrorists, one by one. When they saw, you know, it's Islamic radical terrorists, when she saw a woman killing them, a girl killing them, they run away. Because it's, you know, by their religion, it's a bad thing, you know, you cannot die from woman, you know, from the hands of woman. So actually she saved many, just being a hero. And she was a little girl. When I asked her the story, she was crying, like, I didn't want to kill anyone, but they were killing my friends and such. You know, very soft, very very artistic person, but that's the reality of Israel. But she saved many lives, because once again, I mean, it's a miracle, but they run away, I mean, and they're elite forces. I mean, crazy stories, powerful testimonies, lots of miracles. We had family in kibbutz, same kibbutz actually, Nahal Oz. Eventually, terrorists did broke in to kibbutz. And actually, we had a family, only Messianic family, only believers in this entire kibbutz. So they came to a safe room, which is just bomb shelter without even locker in the door. Just normal room with the thicker concrete walls, just protected from rockets, not from people, not terrorists, but just from rockets, from Schnappel. So terrorists broke down into her house, and I have a video. You know, I have a video on my phone. If you like, I can send you this video. They broke into her house and spent 2 hours in the house, 2 terrorists with the guns, and they had no guns. These guys had no guns, just husband and wife praying behind the door. And the distance between death and life was just a door in the middle of living room. So they actually went through the house, opened every shelf, took all the valuable stuff, you know, opened every corner, everything, turned house upside down. And many times, and they were watching, you know, from their phone. Where is my phone? Oh, it's there. From their phone, they were watching on the phone because they had cameras in the rooms. They were watching. And so many times the terrorists would come to the door. There's a handle. If they would touch the handle, it's it. They would come to the door and turn around. They would come to the door and turn around quite a few times. God just make them blind. They didn't see the door. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. And they were saved. Yeah, for many hours just praying, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Yeshua, Yeshua. Hallelujah. So lots of wonderful miracles happened. And as I said, Israel is fighting on 7 fronts. Can you imagine? If you will see the country, the map of Middle East, it's a little, tiny country in the midst of the most problematic part of the world, in the midst of all the violence, radical Islam, you know, ISIS-like groups, beheading people, destroying everything around and including themselves, you know, big mess, fighting for each other. When they have a break, then they're fighting against Israel. When they stop fighting Israel, they're fighting each other. Crazy part of the world. It's just unbelievable, crazy, bloody, terrible, no hope. Yet, God have chosen Israel to be in such a strategic place, to be a light for the nations. Hallelujah. To be a piece of freedom, democracy, freedom, freedom of religion, freedom of speech. It's amazing, but all these great nations, they live with a dream to destroy Israel. But God is doing miracles. That is the miracles. You know, one of the great miracles, Iran, attacked Israel a few times, But the biggest attack, it was actually the biggest attack of ballistic missiles in the history of humanity. You know, they shot 300 ballistic missiles to Israel. It took 40 minutes for rockets to fly from Iran all the way to Israel. It is long distance. You know, we don't have border. It's Jordan between us and desert. And so all these ballistic missiles need to cross all this area and hit Israel. 300 ballistic missiles. Can you imagine? For 40 minutes, many people have just been praying. It's coming closer. An amazing miracle, but you know how many ballistic rockets? They're bigger than your church building, all these houses, the very huge, massive rockets. You know how many people they killed in Israel? Zero. None. Yeah, zero. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Big miracle. And but what's amazing, you know, Christians, they see that and they praise in the Lord. They see and they understand it is supernatural. Hallelujah. Yet nations still blind. They don't see that. But I really encourage to read the prophetic words of the Bible when it says, I will do this and I will do that. I will protect Israel. I will bless Israel. And then it says, and nations will see that I am the Lord. Hallelujah. Nations will see. So we are waiting. When they're going to see? But anyway, God has promised it will happen. So amazing miracles. Like literally, can you imagine 300 ballistic missiles? Not even one dead. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Praise God. That's what happens when God is fighting for you. Amen. Whatever it is. Truck running to you, the cancer cells attacking you, the other problems attacking you, the ballistic missiles. God is in charge. Amen. Our life in His hands. Hallelujah. Praise God. I remember one of the mornings I woke up, and it was a wartime, previous war with Gaza. And I remember opening up TV and watching news, and I saw how a rocket from Gaza came to my city, hit the ground next to my car, stuck in the ground, even bended, because it was, all the way from Gaza to my car, and it exploded. And it was shown on all national programs of Israel, and I was watching, that's my car. And eventually I said, we have insurances like here. If my car gone, we will buy a new one, but I said, no, it's more than that. It's a message. I really don't care for my car that much, it was secondhand car, and such. It's a minivan actually. But it's a message. Even arrow won't hit you. It was big arrow, very big arrow, But praise the Lord. God is protecting us. And by the way, I still have this video. If you'd like to see that, just text me or email me. Email the Voice of Judah. We will send you this cool videos about terrorists in the house, rockets, stuck next to church car and all kind of testimonies and stories. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And really, I don't want you to feel, wonderful, I get it. God works in Israel. Praise the Lord. I'm happy for you. Or good for you. No. There is deep connection between what God is doing in Israel, with Israel, and with your life, with Christians, with the nations in general, but also specifically with Christians, with every Christian. Hallelujah. So all these miracles, they actually done by God, not only for the sake of Israel, but also for the sake of the nations, for your sake, just to be encouraged. Because when you see all these amazing, great events, you can understand if God can do such a huge miracles, shake the nations, surely He can help you. He can bless you. He can comfort you, encourage you, speak to you, lead you, heal you. Whatever your needs are, He is able to do all these miracles. Amen. Well, in my notes is written, in this moment, we are in America, everyone stand up and screaming hallelujah and running around their chairs. No, I'm kidding. But praise God. God is good, right? God is good and is doing miracles. Hallelujah. So let's go to the scriptures, and I want to just proclaim scriptures. When we're speaking about Israel, prophetic words connected to Israel, and by the way, meanwhile, you can open Zechariah 14. when we see all of these events, or when we see all of that, I always feel the Holy Spirit is coming and just building up our faith and preparing our hearts for what's going to come. You know, because we're going to share about both good, great stuff and difficult events. But actually, you know, Jesus, he was talking about all of these events. And he said, when are you going to see all this shaking, all these tribulations, all these problems? He said, run and hide. No. He said, raise your head, meaning rejoice, raise your hand, be encouraged. I am coming soon. Hallelujah. And that's the message. That's the message. Praise the Lord. So let's read a little bit about last days and what's going to happen. And now it's one of my favorite scriptures, Zechariah 14, verse 9. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. And by the way, that's very special scripture and written in very special way, in a unique way. The Lord shall be a king. He shall be king over all the earth. Hallelujah. And by the way, you know, when it says the Lord in Hebrew, it says Jehovah. Jehovah, God the Father, Jehovah. Hallelujah. So he's going to be king over the earth, all earth. We know other scriptures, and it's clear. Surely it will be Jesus, but God the Father, he's the one who will put Jesus on his throne. Amen. Paul also taught us that Jesus will accomplish his works and also submit all the authority, all the glory to God the Father, right? It's beautiful scriptures in the New Testament. So it says, the Lord shall be king over the all earth. And that day it shall be. The Lord is one and his name is one. Ooh, I can tell you, in Israel, when we have this battle, who is going to be God of Israel? Who is going to be God in Jerusalem? You know, all this war, all this Palestinian issue, all these problems, it's not just political war. It's not political. It's not conflict between people. The conflict is religious. And by the way, any terrorist, any attack also come together with prayers. Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar, God is great. In Arabic, right? God is great. By saying God, they mean Allah is great, right? Actually, they do say Allah is great. And they are claiming that actually Allah is the greatest God. Allah is the ruler of the world. Allah should be, Allah in Islam should control Jerusalem. And that's the fight. Who is going to control Israel? Because they control all Middle East, but there's a little piece of land that's controlled by Israel, by freedom, you know, so they cannot stand it. And that's why all these conflicts, all these problems, and then surely Gaza is number one in all of that, not only Gaza. And by the way, you know, Gaza in Hebrew, we say Aza with A, but just not normal A or A, but it's Aza, strong sound. Aza. And Aza in Hebrew means stronghold. Interesting, right? Stronghold. And by the way, Hamas in Hebrew means evil. And it's in the Bible. It's a biblical word for evil. I know it's not the word. It's a sentence. If you pronounce it by letters, it's become Hamas. But I think even this part of is prophetic. Because literally, word Hamas in Hebrew is evil. Interesting, right? Speaking about prophecies, prophetic messages. So the people of Gaza succeeded to fool the world. They found it more difficult to fool Christians, not all Christians, but many Christians, especially praying Christians, non Bible Christians. They found it easy to fool Western world. The Middle East is another story, because all the Middle East, they understand what happened in there. They play right because, you know, there is political games. But actually, they understand the problematic side of Gaza, and that's why they don't want to receive anybody from Gaza. You know, Egypt sharing border with Gaza, but they say no. No one Palestinian, no one from Gaza will come to Egypt. None. Because they know they're troublemakers, you know. But they fall west, you know, the Western countries. And now many people called good evil and evil good. You know, so it's amazing. But anyway, when I was younger, I used to be so upset and sometimes even angry when I see all this stuff. But now I came to my shalom, to my peace, because I found scriptures in the Bible. Actually, it's one of the signs of the last days, the blindness, the confusion, and many levels confusion. It's part of the last days. And actually, it is demonic powers, and we're going to speak a little bit more about that. But it says it will come to end. And Lord will be king of the whole earth in that day. Lord is one, and his name one. Hallelujah. Not Allah. Hallelujah. Not even religions like Judaism or classical Christianity, as we know. There is Orthodox churches, there is Catholic churches, but just Lord will be one. Can you imagine when you understand Israel, understand the fight? This speaks a lot. This speaks loud. Hallelujah. And by the way, there will be no other religions as well. All of them will be dismissed. The truth will be known to all nations. There will be no Buddhism, no any other religions. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. All of it will gone. And Lord will be king over all earth. And his name, Jesus, will be one. Amen. Praise the Lord. He will be one. And that's a prayer in Islam. That's a prayer in Israel. God is one, but it doesn't cancel Trinity. Hallelujah. And God is one. And then it says, let's go, same chapter. Let's go to the beginning, verse 3. What will happen prior to that? It says here, then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as he fights in the day of the battle. Hallelujah. So we say the final battle is the Lord's. Yes, Israel fights 7 fronts, but we know for sure Israel not capable to fight that much and so long and for so many strong countries. But God is behind it. God is behind it. He's fighting for Israel, and that's why. And by the way, when war in Lebanon, with Lebanon broke out, many Israelites were in fear. We have articles and newspapers written, and they prophesied, they were saying, before we will get victory, many, many cities will be in ruins. Even Tel Aviv and Ashdod, you know, the Nasrallah was speaking, we're going to hit Ashdod, because biggest port in Ashdod, and also there's some intelligence, you know, bases in Ashdod, in my city, Ashdod. So they've been actually speaking about that. Lots of fear was there. They would say probably between 15 to 50,000 Israelis will die if war broke out with Lebanon. You see what happened? A little by little, a little by little, breakthrough after breakthrough after breakthrough. All the leaders of Hezbollah gone, all of them gone. Hallelujah. Syria was biggest threat for Israel for so many years. When Hezbollah gone, suddenly things changes and Syria fell. Hallelujah. And I was watching news when old guys who used to be soldiers at the last war in Syria, they were coming to Hermon Mountain, you know, to this area. They were crying and saying like, that was the strongest enemy of Israel. We couldn't even imagine that in our lifetime we will defeat Syria and Syria won't be a threat anymore. So many, many, many powerful miracles taking place right now. Hallelujah. And that's in the Bible because God said, he's going to fight. He's going to fight for Israel. He's going to fight against all these nations who will build their allies with the satanic powers and attack what God is doing. Verse 4 says, and in that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives. Hallelujah, which faces Jerusalem on the east. You can be sure which mount is it, right? There's only one mountain from the east of Jerusalem. And the Mountain of Olives shall be split in two, from east to west, making a very large valley. Half of the mountain shall move towards the north and half the mountain to the south. Guys, hurry up. You have to come to Israel and stand when Jesus stands. Jesus was standing, because later this mount will split and there will be valley, no mountain anymore. So come and see before it happened, okay? Just teasing you, but I know Pastor Harley been on this mountain many times, right, Pastor Harley? But it's amazing. Jesus was standing on the same mountain. He was sitting on the same mountain many, many times, prophesying over Jerusalem, praying over Jerusalem, speaking to his people, saying, hey, I'm going to leave you guys soon, and I'm not going to be back. I spoke to apostles. I'm not going to be back until you, Jewish people, you will say, welcome who comes in the name of the Lord. Speaking of his return, hallelujah, and it's coming, it's coming. And by the way, he said these words not to the nations, not to the Gentiles who will believe in Jesus, but to people of Israel. He said, I won't come back until you will say, welcome who comes in the name of the Lord. And that's our role, to prepare hearts of Israel to say those words. And when we pray in Israel, when we pray in Ashdod, when we worship every Saturday together as a church, as a congregation, we always say these words, welcome who comes in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. The bride in Israel also crying these words, groaning and crying. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. And Jesus were sitting on this mountain very often. He spent last day on this earth, on the same mountain, Mount of Olives. That's where he was arrested and taken to the cross. Praise Jesus. And by the way, when apostles met Jesus last time after his resurrection, they were standing on Mount of Olives. Hallelujah. And they were talking, listening to Jesus. And Jesus departed. He left up. They were standing. And angel said, what are you waiting for? He will come back. You know the Bible, it's written. He will come back on the same mountain. Hallelujah. And now we see what Zechariah said, even before Jesus' days. So Jesus knew why he picked up to go up from this mountain. Because place of his departure, he will be place of his return. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Same physical spot, but also for the sake of Jerusalem, Israel, for the sake of the nations, for the sake of all of us. Hallelujah. So all these amazing events, they are coming. They are coming. It's in the Bible. Hallelujah. And we see as we're coming closer, we see as changes taking place. And all these changes, even difficult changes, it's a preparation. It's a preparation. Praise Jesus. Let's go to Isaiah 60. Isaiah 60 verse 1 says, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. Oh, hallelujah. Very powerful words of Isaiah, and actually these two scriptures telling us, giving us two messages, good and bad, right? Good and bad. Arise, shine, glory of the Lord is coming, is going to be risen now upon you. And then it says, but also behold, or get ready. In Hebrew, literally, just be ready. Be ready. Prepare your heart, prepare your life, be ready, because darkness shall cover the earth and deep darkness the people. Now, in Hebrew, like in English, it says darkness and deep darkness. I know some translations say thick darkness, right? There's a couple translations. But in Hebrew, it says actually it is two different words. The first word, darkness, it's actually choshech. And choshech, it is darkness, but it's more than just normal darkness. You know, one of the plagues over Egypt was darkness. Remember? But let's think about this darkness. It was choshech. It wasn't just lack of light, because it says the darkness penetrated, not only covered the Egypt, but it also penetrated to the houses. Yet, people in the houses, they had lights, they had candles, you know, kind of modern-day electricity, right? They had actually light, yet, Bible said, it was dark in their houses, meaning darkness was tangible. It was physical, tangible darkness with a very heavy atmosphere, you know, heavy atmosphere of evil, fear, anxiety. These words describe this darkness as one of the plagues. So Bible said they will come, and this type of choshech or darkness as a plague over Egypt will cover the nations. Interesting, right? It's going to cover the nations. But it's not going to cover you. You remember what happened in Egypt? The houses of people of covenant, the houses of Israel, houses of 12 tribes of Israel, of Israelis, they were different. Light was there. Hallelujah. The light was around the houses. Light was in the houses. The choshech, the darkness, penetrated to every corner of Egypt, but people of covenant. Hallelujah. And that's the message also for your life. Even in the midst of the darkness, we're going to see his light. Darkness is going to grow crazy around us, but it won't come into us, right? It won't touch us. And actually, I can tell you even more. In the darkness, light is shining brighter. Even little candle in a dark room becoming bright light, right? Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. It's about you. We are the light of the world. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. And then he said, and you are the light of the world. Hallelujah. And that's what the Bible says. The glory. Hallelujah. The light and the glory. Light of glory. What, right? It says, oh, for your light has come, and glory of the Lord risen upon you. So light and glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That's what's going to grow. That's what's supposed to grow in the life of every Christian in the last days. That's what God going to do. Hallelujah. And second word it says, but the Lord will arise over you. Now, Lord himself, and by the way, in Hebrew it says, Jehovah, God the Father. You know, God introduced God the Father, Jehovah, to us as God the Father, right? And since then we call him God by name, just God the Father. But really his name, as he revealed it to Moses, Yehovah, that's the Hebrew, English version, Jehovah, right? Yehovah. Yud Hei Vav Hei, which is actually in Hebrew. You know what does his name means? Yehovah? Yehovah means past, present, and future. This little word, four letters, means in Hebrew, literally, past, present, and future. Remember Jesus when he showed up after his resurrection to John, the Apostle John? He said, I'm the one who was, who is, and who is to come, right? Jehovah. Jehovah, who was, who is, and who is to come. Hallelujah. So it says, the Lord will arise, God the Father will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. Praise the Lord. So the second darkness, or thick darkness, in Hebrew it's arafel. It's a totally different word. It's arafel. What does mean arafel? Literally, a fog. Just a fog. Have you been driving in the mountains during the fog? I did. It was very, very scary. You're just blind. You don't see anything, right? You can fly out of cliff. You can hit another car, or you can hit cliff, you know. I mean, it's dangerous. You're just driving in blindness. That's the arafel in Hebrew. That's the arafel. So we see two kinds of darkness going to cover the nations and the earth. The evil one, but also blindness. The evil, you know, the crime, the violence, the terror, going to the war, bloodshed, going to cover the earth. And second kind is arafel, or blindness. People will get blind. You know, there is lots of confusion going on today. I know different areas, different nations, but it's really, really serious. There is lots of confusion, and people trying to put confusion into kids. And there are questions that have been asked. Am I a girl? Am I a boy? Who am I? You know, lots of different level of confusion. We live in a time of confusion. And by the way, John 10:10 says that the devil is a liar and is the father of all lies, meaning he's the professional liars. He's the best liars. If you want to hire best, not the best lawyer, but best liar, you know the address, right? You know the address. So, and Jesus said, he's the liar. He's the father of all lies. So when he speaks lies, he speaks his own, right? So he knows how to lie, how to deceive people, how to confuse, you know, how to release confusion. And that's what happened actually also around the world right now. And I've been to many the Western nations, you know, in Europe and North Europe, lots of confusion and very deep level. People come to the point that they're even afraid to speak the truth. It's becoming legally dangerous in many countries. You can be charged. You can go to prison. You know, where is freedom of speech? Gone. It still applies for some areas, but not for every area. That's amazing. But, you know, I can tell you what we felt in the war, and that's part of my message for your church today, Pastor Harley. All of these verses, it's a preparation. Glory is going to come. When we see darkness rising, it's a sign for us. Keep preaching the gospel. Go preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. Share hope. Speak light. Because there's many people who need salvation. Many people who will be saved before return. So that's the sign. And we're living in the last days. But I can tell you, there is also very serious spiritual warfare. You know, when Hamas attacked Israel, it wasn't just war attack. It was much more. It's actually was very, very demonic. We felt it. And not only Christians, as Christians we felt it because we know the Bible. Nationwide we felt it, literally. We had atheists speaking on TV programs. Can you imagine your CNN news and other secular news, right? The secular news, they were admitting what happened in Gaza. It was from devil, literally, they use this language, from devil. It was demonic. It's come from hell. People who used to say we don't believe in God were atheists, officially atheists, were speaking about hell and prayers. Hallelujah. You know, I had some favorite moments. I really was touched and I laughed and really it blessed me a lot to see the heavy atheists, the aggressive, you know, aggressive atheists. Like there's no God, you know, like only stupid people believe in God, you know, fighting God and such, was speaking on national TV. And when people will share their testimonies, how they've been saved, and they said, and by the way, like my relative such and such, he is in Gaza, please pray for him. And to see this atheist sitting there and feel uncomfortable, but, and we're all praying for you, you know. Can you imagine? Israel has been going through many different changes. Hallelujah. Powerful changes. But literally what had happened, it was shaking in our country. And I remember this day, it was October 7th day. I just actually came back from America, my first night home. We woke up with the sirens. I live on the 30th floor, 30, very high floor. So I see from my windows Tel Aviv, and I see from my windows Gaza Strip. I see Ashkelon and Gaza Strip. So I did open my windows, and I saw rockets flying into my city from Gaza, and rockets flying to Ashkelon, much more to Ashkelon. We saw smoke coming up from Ashkelon, the heavy smoke. We can see the houses were damaged, something happened. We knew something happened. A little later, I opened up TV just to see the news, and I saw the truck of terrorists driving in the city of Sderot and killing people. I said, it's a fake news. It cannot happen. It just cannot happen. You know, I couldn't believe it. Saw them shooting police officers. No, it cannot happen. It was difficult to believe even, you know. So I remember a little later, my first son, my youngest son, Guy, he was in the army, but he was on leave. He's still in the army. He was on leave. He was cold. So we took him with my wife and brought him to the point when soldiers come together and then taken by military to the military bases. And I never seen Israeli soldiers so much down, so much full of fear. And normally they're brave, they're ready to fight, you know, they're ready, but it was different. They were really, really, faces were different. And I can tell you, we felt spiritual pressure. We felt demonic powers. We felt literally, you know, like a cartoon movies about, actually, one of the cartoon movies I remember about Choshech or darkness. It really shown as a, like, fluid darkness going from house to house. That's what we felt. It was like tangible. Fluid darkness covered the nation. And we felt it was like waves released from Gaza. And that's what, you know, the violence happened. One of my guys in my church, our translator, he was translating Greg all the time and had funny stories with Greg. But anyway, Eugene, you know, he actually speaks many languages, including Arabic. So his part was interrogate terrorists. And he was playing good cop because I'm Christian. I cannot do anything but be good cop. You know, so he was a good guy. So he would come to terrorists, ask him questions. And literally, we have recorded messages. They were saying, like, I'm not that a bad guy. Nor I couldn't kill child. I couldn't cut head off the child. So like, but you did it. Like, why you did it? Say, I don't know. And they literally would say, the Satan came over me. Literally, Shaitan, they say, Shaitan, you know, the Satan. Literally say, the Satan came over me and I did all this stuff. It's not me. It's not me. And crying, you know, like, and I don't speak about one terrorist. dozens, if not hundreds, of terrorists were saying same words. We didn't know what happened. It just something came over us. You know, like we're not capable to kill children, you know, women, and all of that. That was very, very, very demonic. We really faced demons, demonic powers in a very, very deep way. By the way, all these messages recorded, all the violence recorded, all the killings recorded, because terrorists put body cameras and they were recording what they do and been putting online, boasting, you know, like, and praising Allah for what they been able to achieve. So if you, everyone, you, any, anytime you doubting or some people doubting around you, I can tell you there's tons and tons and tons of videos done by terrorists by themselves, and they upload it on the internet, you know, because some people trying to deny and say, no, 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 it's lies, it doesn't happen. It's not Israel revealed it. They by themselves revealed all these video footages. Okay, just saying, just in case, you know, you probably will see different manifestations of darkness and ignorance and all. Anyway, so it was very tough. So we brought our son Guy. We started to pray. I even stopped him from going to the first bus and all that. Just wait. Let's pray more. Let's pray. We felt all this darkness gone. Then later, my second son, my oldest son, Sason, he was also called to the army. Like I said, 35 from my congregation and 350,000 soldiers were called in one day to the army. All the young guys, the lawyers, the doctors, the businessmen, the high-tech people. Our country, we felt the country became empty. You know, the many grocery stores were closed. Businesses are closed, not only because of war, but because of deployment. Everyone just left to fight for their country. And people didn't wait to be called. They just jumped to their family cars and went to fight for Israel. And actually, people said statistically, if you compare numbers of Israel with your own numbers, it will be like 60,000 young men will go to fight in America, would leave America one day to fight from every walks of life. That was very, very, very significant. Imagine, 60,000, like 60 million in America. That would be the scale, you know. So that was a very, very, very serious event. And I remember driving my son, I was a youth pastor, a man of God, you know, young man of God. I was driving him and I said to me, Father, I don't know if I'm going to come back or not. We knew many people dying in those hours. And he said to me, but if I not, please raise my two daughters like your own. Raise them in the church. Raise them to serve God. I don't know, like a father, I said, no, Sason, we're going to pray for you. It will be all right. You'll be fine. God is protecting you. But when he left car, then I just started to cry. That was heavy moments. And driving to the military base with him, I saw miles and miles of cars on the highway, parked on the left and on the right, with the baby seats, you know, just little and big family car, business cars, they were just packed. All of these guys left their life and went to fight for Israel. That was tough. But little by little, Israel fought back. You know, little by little, victory, another victory, another victory. Israel did miracles. And by the way, Israel was saying all the time, we're not capable to fight for a long time. We can be in the war just a few weeks. It's it. We're a small nation. We don't have enough weapons. We don't have enough power. Not enough people. Now Israel fighting a year and a half. Still fighting a year and a half. And we've been fighting seven fronts. Not even speaking two more. Spiritual warfare, number 8. And media war, which is Israel losing all the time. And if you ask, why is Israel losing media war? You know how many Jewish people in the world? Less than 20 million. You know how many Muslims in the world? More than a billion. So for every post of Israel, there is millions and millions and millions of posts of Muslims. And they, and you know, in Muslim culture, 99% of them would back up wrong side, even if they know that it's wrong. It's part of religion. Anyway, just saying, you know, okay, there is many good Muslims. There is voices that condemn what happened there. But speaking of about generally last day's war, so it was tough. But Israel pushed back all this darkness little by little, get victory, destroy terrorists, started to win, lost many lives, heavy price, but started to win. And then, to big surprise of Israelis, the Western world turned against Israel, condemning Israel, trying to stop Israel, trying to, you know, stop Israel from actually protecting their own country and such, which has run Israelis crazy. They cannot understand, like, how they don't see how darkness, powers of darkness, that's in the Bible. It's a spiritual warfare. But Israel pushed back, and all these demonic powers went out and went to attack Europe, went to attack other nations, also America. And I can tell you my personal experience. Just I want to read one of the verses of the Bible, Isaiah 27, a very unique verse of the Bible, Isaiah 27, 1. It says, and the Bible speak here in very, very special language, very heavy spiritual language, okay? Not normal Christian language, spiritual language. It says here, in that day, the Lord, with his severe sword, great and strong. So saying, Lord will take sword, right? Great and strong. And he will punish Leviathan. Then it says, and in Hebrew, by the way, see the differences. Leviathan is number one. Then it says, the fleeing serpent. It's in Hebrew, it's Nahash Bariach. It's actually literally snake, the fleeing snake. Then it's again, Leviathan. And then it says, and twisted snake or serpent in English. Nahash Akalton. And he will stay, and he will slay reptile that is in the sea. In Hebrew it says tanin, crocodile. That's a reptile, it says crocodile, that in the sea. So we're speaking about spiritual beings, about spiritual powers, about beings. You know, we know general description, devil, demons, spirits. Now you have more details from the Bible, you see. It's about, not physical stuff, but spiritual stuff. And it's interesting, this verse kind of in Isaiah comes like out of context, but that's the language. That's what Israel dealing with. There is demonic power assigned and ready for last days. They're going to attack Israel, but God is protecting Israel. So, you know, I had an amazing experience, crazy experience. I went to preach to Norway right day before Norway decided to stay with Hamas. And I said, we're standing with Hamas. We're condemning Israel. We're against Israel. We're going to back up Hamas. We're going to stand with them, you know, and such. In official level as a country. Crazy, right? I know all the Norwegian Christians are griefing. They don't agree. They sign petitions. They try to change it. But that's the fact. And just before that, it wasn't my plan, but just before that, I came to Norway, and my friend picked me up and took me to the church, and we were driving through the valleys, through the villages, you know, going to the city, to Oslo, going to capital. And on my way, my spiritual eyes were open, and it's not normal for me. I'm not the guy who see, you know, demons everywhere. It was very, very unique experience for me. My spiritual eyes were open, and I saw demons sitting on the rooftops of the houses, sitting on the trees, and it wasn't scary. I knew it's not against me. It's not like they're here not to fight me, you know. So I had peace, no fear. And it's kind of strange, right? You see all these creatures, the powerful but ugly, you know, creatures. Yet you have total peace, and you know. And I knew it's not against me. It's not my war. So I saw that all the way driving through. I came, then it disappeared. So I came to my room. I prayed and asked the Lord, Lord, what is it? And literally, many scriptures came to my spirit, my memory, and I heard the voice of the Holy Spirit saying exactly what I said to you. Israel pushed back the demonic powers, I mean physical powers, and also demonic powers, because all the world praying for Israel. We've been praying for Israel. We've been praying actually twice a day, still praying twice a day, 1 hour in the morning, 1 hour in the evening with the church, until today, because we promised to God. We're going to pray until world will stop, you know, all the way to the end. I didn't know we signed up for 1.5 year, and it's keep going. But anyway, that's our story. But praise God, it's a wonderful experience. So anyway, Israel pushed back, and all these demonic powers went from Gaza to the nations. And scripture from Revelations came to my memory when it says, and one of the seals will be taken off by angels, and hell will be open. And it says three demons will come out of hell, and they look like frogs. And it says, and they will go to the kings of the nations to lie to them, Satan is a liar, to lie to them and to gather them to the battle against Israel. Interesting, right? So I was right there and I saw that. I saw that with my spiritual eyes, all these demonic powers. And next day, Norway decided to change their ways and to support terrorists, to stand officially, legally with terrorists and to be against Israel. So there is spiritual warfare. There is spiritual powers of darkness. But praise the Lord, He given us victory. We have a victory. Hallelujah. And we're here to be salt of the nations, salt of our nation, and to be light. Right? So let's read last scripture for today. The last one. Do you have a few more minutes? My phone is already, my watch already ringing. Time to wrap it up. Time to pray. Time to be encouraged. So it says here, well, two scriptures. Okay, two scriptures. First one, spiritual warfare. Zechariah 12, verse 2 and 3. Behold, I will make, God saying here, I will make, God telling us, I will make Jerusalem a cup of drunkenness to all the surrounding people whenever they lay siege against Jerusalem, Judah and Jerusalem. In that day, and it shall happen in that day that I will make Jerusalem a very heavy stone for all people. All who would have it away will surely be cut in pieces, though all nations of the earth are gathered against it. Interesting, right? So we have two points here. God said cup of drunkenness. He will raise Jerusalem. He will make Jerusalem cup of drunkenness. You know, the role of Israel in last days to provoke powers of darkness and to expose them. Not only in Israel. It starts with Israel and going to the nations. And have you seen all these college students, even in America, screaming destruction of Israel? You know, to the river, to the sea, Palestine will be free. It's meaning an annihilation of Israel, total destruction of Israel, wiping Israel out. It's from Jordan River to the Mediterranean Sea. That's our borders. Yeah, so all these stories about river and the sea, that's it. There is no room for Israel. And I know many been fooled, lied to, and many didn't know what they do. Organizers of those events, they do know. It's organized. I have Pastor Phil McCallum from Seattle, Washington. He do big events, and he said he came to check out these events. When he walked the campuses and he walked all these rides, I said, it's well organized and well paid. So like that's expensive events. There are some people behind it who pay lots of money to organize it. It's not just spontaneous, unhappy teenagers or young guys screaming and shouting. No. There is powers of darkness working even in America, and it's just good to know, don't be stressful, because Psalm 2 says, why do nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let break them and blah, blah, and etc. Now, verse 4 says, He who sits in heavens, our Lord, right? He sits in heavens. He sees all these vain plans. He sees all this plot. He sees all these plans. He who sits in heaven shall laugh. Hallelujah. You see, God knows. It's all under His control. And He says, He's not scared. He's not intimidated. He don't care what Norwegian government says. Sorry. He don't care even what your government says. His word is the last word. Right? So, and it says, He is laughing. He laughs. So next time you pray for Israel, please laugh. Even with all these heavy reports, please laugh, because we know God is laughing. God is going to destroy all the plans of the enemy. He's going to destroy all of that. Our part just to play and be available for God, and he's going to use our prayers. But that's it. So back to the scripture, and it says, so Israel called to provoke powers of darkness, and to expose powers of darkness in Israel. You know, and there's so much madness. You know, in Gaza, in West Bank, the government of Gaza and people killing all the homosexuals. They kill them all. There is no homosexuals. They kill LGBT community, throwing them from the rooftops, and we have footages because they always film it and put it online. And by the way, you know, if anywhere in the world the homosexual person will be killed in our days, it will be big, big news, right? Big news, you know, LGBT communities, you know, big news. So recently, they found 26-year guy in West Bank, the Muslim guy, who was homosexual. You know what happened to him? They drug him to the city center, daylight, during the day. Police were standing, doing nothing. Kids and women came around to see that, and they just executed them. No judgment, no police, no court, in presence of women and children and everyone were cheering. They just killed them. But you know what happened? Even crazier, it wasn't reported in any news. Surely Israel showed that, but all the other news, they refused to report it because it would put Palestinians in bad light. It's again their policies. So when you see all these things, you know, it's not just people, it's not just conflict. It's a spiritual powers, you know, it's a spiritual powers. When you see the demonstrations, especially in Europe, when Hamas terrorist supporters, together with homosexual guys, the radical Islamists, together with LGBT community, you know, they're killing them in Gaza, they're killing them in West Bank. But, and communists, by the way, third party, the communists, all of these guys come together to protest Israel. They have nothing in common. No, radical Islam, LGBT, the communists, nothing in common. But when it's come to Israel, they unite and they stand together. It shows you there is spiritual warfare. There are spiritual powers working against it. But once again, it says, God will make Jerusalem, he will make Jerusalem, cup of drunkenness. By the way, you know what people of the ancient days, the kings, what they do? They would raise their cup with the wine, and they would speak different toasts or different, you know, wishes. You know, like, and cups would be golden with the precious stones showing the power and glory of king, right? And they would speak the words, they would raise it up. Everyone have to see the beautiful cup, the expensive cup, you know, the very, very beautiful one. It says God will raise Jerusalem as cup of drunkenness. And by the way, in Hebrew it says cup of Ra'al, meaning poison. Poison. And all the nations who hate Israel, they will be drinking from this cup. And you know what will happen to them, right? Then it says God will make Jerusalem heavy stone. Spiritual warfare. It says, and many will try to remove it, but they couldn't. They will fall and be cut in pieces. Look at Gaza. Look at Gaza. Whoso wind will reap the whirlwind. Well, in Israel it says storm. Whoso wind will reap the storm. You know, that's the Bible. So we see spiritual warfare. And very last one, the Psalms. I didn't plan it. I just felt I have to say that. Please laugh in your prayers. Right? Laugh more often when you pray for Israel, because it can be depressive. It can be heavy. But God keep everything under his control, right? Isaiah 62, verse 6 and 7. On your walls, Jerusalem, I have set watchmen. All day and all night, they will never hold their peace, their shalom. You who remind Adonai, remind the Lord, take no rest for yourselves and give him no rest. Give the Lord no rest until he establishes and make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Hallelujah. And that's the invitation. God is saying, I have set my watchmen on the walls of Jerusalem. You know what does it mean? Watchmen, they are watching. Watchmen, they see what's going to come to the city. You know, and biblical watchmen, in Hebrew it's shomrim, the watchers, the shomrim. This is the guys. It's both. It's those are watchers and who is protecting the places. You know, shomer is also guard. You know, it's also the word for guard, you know. So it's both. It's one of people who see, they stand on the top, but also they are guard, they stay on guard, you know. They're protecting the place. And God's saying, I set my watchmen on the walls of Jerusalem. And it's not about Jewish people. It's not about people of Israel. I believe it's about Christians. We believe it's about Christians. God set watchmen on the walls of Jerusalem. You know, surely you're welcome to come and walk the walls of Jerusalem, literally, physically. Hallelujah. It's a wonderful experience, but it's more than that. You know, Ezekiel, he was living in Babylon. He wasn't in Jerusalem. But God made him watchman for Jerusalem. He would take him from Babylon. He would take him to Jerusalem in the spirit. And he was walking in Jerusalem and he'd see all the right and all the wrong stuff, even hidden rooms. And then he will come back and write the messages to Jerusalem because he saw that. That's what God is doing. That's an invitation to go up on the walls of Jerusalem and pray for Israel. Pray for Israel. but it's never end up with Israel. It also will connect you with your nation, you know, with your city, with your ministry, whenever you at. That's the call of God, to be a watchman. So let's stand up together and let's pray. We're living in a time of spiritual warfare, and it is going to intensify more and more, but it should be heavy for us. Should be heavy for us, because we have equipment of the kingdom. Hallelujah. We have power, we have authority in the name of Jesus. It's not our war. The battle is the Lord's, right? But we just given him an opportunity, an invitation to use us for his glory, to use us, to pray through us, right? To use us as a voice, as a messenger, messengers, as a prayer voice, and pray for God's kingdom. Hallelujah. So let's pray together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for such an invitation and prophetic words. Lord, thank you that you are God who invite us to go up and stand on the walls of Jerusalem in the spirit and to be a watchman, to be a watchman, to be people who are staying on guard, praying and prophesying, praying words of the Bible, praying prophetic words, Yeshua. Hallelujah. And your words are anointed by the Holy Spirit. Your words are carrying power. Your words are full of faith, Yeshua. And your word is transforming our lives. And when we align ourselves with your word, and we're saying, yes, Lord, work in me, work through me. Come, Holy Spirit, work in me, Lord. You are revealing your glory. You're revealing your kingdom, Yeshua. Hallelujah. And it's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you, Jesus. It's about what you doing and going to do, Lord, with every nation, Lord, with the earth, with the nations, hallelujah, with our lives, Jesus. So, Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, open our spiritual eyes. Open our spiritual eyes to see. What do you do, Lord? What do you do? What is your doing, Lord? Hallelujah. Open our spiritual eyes to see, Lord. Open our spiritual ears to hear your voice, Lord. Come and visit us in our dreams, Lord. Hallelujah. Show us dreams and visions, Lord. Jesus, you said when you're going to preach your word, you will accompany our lives with different manifestations. The sick will be healed. The unsaved will be saved. The demons will flee, Lord. Hallelujah. So, Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus that your kingdom will be manifested. You've been speaking about signs and wonders, not only healings, not only salvations, and even not only casting demons, but signs and wonders, Lord. Hallelujah. So, Lord, we pray. We pray in the name of Jesus. Lord, visit our lives. Visit our lives. Touch our lives, Lord. Hallelujah. Take us to the wonderful spiritual world and walk with you, Jesus. Hallelujah. To walk in supernatural. To see, Lord, your glory. To see your presence, to see manifestation of your glory, Lord, the reality of your kingdom, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So let's pray a little bit for each other, as Bible said, and I want to pray for healing, and I don't want to call everyone up, but we just pray general prayer over you all, and let's see what God is going to do. But we have seen so many miracles, especially in Galilee and in Jerusalem, when we invite non-believers and pray for them, just like that, just general prayer. Hallelujah. So let's just receive his prayer, his blessing, his healing. Hallelujah. Yeshua, Jesus, thank you for your wonderful promises. Promises to heal us, promises to restore us, promises to protect us, Lord. Thank you for your promises, Lord. And I pray right now, we pray, Lord, for everyone who is sick in this place, Lord. Hallelujah. We pray, Lord, that you will touch their body. Touch their body, touch their organs, Lord. Touch them and heal them in the name of Jesus. You said, Lord, we should pray for the sick and they will be healthy, they will be well. So we pray in the name of Jesus, Lord. Heal them right now. We send all the tumors to go in the name of Jesus. All the organs to be healed in the name of Jesus. All the pain to leave in the name of Jesus. Lord, heal the back, Lord. Hallelujah. The spine, the back, Lord. The back pain, the pain in the joints. Heal it in the name of Jesus. Heal them in the name of Jesus. Heal everyone who's present here in this room, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that by your stripes we are healed, Lord. Hallelujah. By your wounds we are healed, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And now I want to pray over you in Hebrew, the Hebrew prayer. It's Aaronic benediction or blessing. But that's the wonderful prayer because God himself gave this prayer to Moses. And he said, teach Aaron, pass it to Aaron, let him pray for my people and they will be well. It's amazing. This short prayer touches every sphere or every level of our life. The physical, the spiritual, the emotional. So think about what you want to pray for. The financial, your career, your business, your relationship, like a family, your children, right? It's cross-generational prayer. Really, this short prayer contains all the aspects of your life. It's amazing, right? Short prayer touches every sphere of your life. And actually it says, put, in Hebrew it says literally, put my name on them and they will be healed. And they will be well, they will be blessed. And blessed in Hebrew, mivurach. It's more than just like, gee, I bless you, right? It's more than that. It's really going deep to every level of your life. You know, hand of God over you, face of God shining over you, you know, smiling to you. Hallelujah. Going into his presence. Praise Jesus. We need it, right? We need God. We need more of him. We need more of his divine, hallelujah, kingdom manifestations in our lives, the encounters with God, the miracles around us, right? So let's pray. Hallelujah. Just think about what you're praying for. Relatives, children, businesses, or all of it. Even all of it. That's okay if you have many requests. That's fine. Okay, so let's pray. Breakthrough for business, restoration of relationship, a broken relationship. Hallelujah. Healing, protection, everything we need. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Ivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ya'er Adonai panavelecha veichoneka. Isa Adonai panavelecha voyasem lecha shalom. B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's put our hands together and praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.